Okay, welcome everyone to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Microsoft 365 and Azure Service Health. So as you know, from time to time, whether you are on-prem, as we previously, a lot of us were, you know, there's a lot of disruptions that could happen within the organization as far as hardware and software and network, et cetera, that happened. And obviously, when you move to the cloud, there are going to be some of those disruptions as well. So we're going to be talking about, you know, how to go through them, how to stay alerted and understanding some of those things, and where to go to get this information. So I'm going to pass it over to Michael to start us off.
Yeah. So the service health and continuity for Office 365 is well documented on the Microsoft Docs page. We'll make sure to post a link in the blog to that resource. But basically, Microsoft offers a financially backed SLA, service level agreement of 3 nines, which is 99.9 of service uptime guarantee. And this uptime kind of equates to about 8 hours and 46 minutes a year of outage to their cloud-based services. And so if on this page, you also see kind of some of the worldwide uptimes that have been posted quarterly since 2017. And so those range from 99.97 to 99.99. So that's about 2 hours and 40 minutes to 53 minutes of outage yearly. So that's pretty impressive numbers to begin with. And so what an outage is, or really a service incident, is really an event that prevents the delivery of service. And so Microsoft has some standard operating procedures around like post-incident reviews. So they have to provide a preliminary post-incident review within, I think, 48 hours of the incident being resolved. And then they have to do a final report within 5 business days. And so they're, you know, clear on what happens, and in those reports is, you know, the user experience, the customer impact, incident details like the start of the issue, the end of the issue, also the timelines of the impact and resolution steps. And then also they provide a root cause analysis and then the actions to improve the service going forward. When a service incident occurs, Microsoft focuses really on that like timely, accurate communication through their notification policy. And so there's, you know, service incidents are updated within an hourly cadence, as well as if there's a different cadence required based on the severity of the issue, they'll post the communication policy. And so maybe Dino, if you can talk about, as a consumer of these services, how can you get that information around incidents?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Michael. So really, when we're talking about these standard operating procedures or this concept of service management, really what we're talking about is how do you operate your environment. So really what this is that you as an organization have to kind of have a documented process of the things that you're doing when operating Office 365 and the cadence of how often you're doing these things with respect to all things Office 365. So you need to have a plan, document that plan, and talk about how often you're going to be doing these things, whether it's daily, weekly, or monthly. So in terms of monitoring the service health with respect to Office 365, we start with the Office 365 portal. But you head over to portal.office.com, you can get to a service health portal, which actually shows you a really nice bird's eye view of all the Microsoft 365 services and a list whether they're healthy or they're in an incident state, or whether there's a full-on outage or an advisory. So there'll be a long list of items there, like 23 items that you can see quickly, what's green, what's yellow, what might have an advisory. So that would be your first place to get started. So that could kind of be on a large screen in your NOC that you're monitoring, things like that. You also have, for people on the go, you can have the Office 365 mobile app, which is, quite frankly, not something a lot of people are aware of, but you can basically run a mini version of the portal on your phone, and you can also be alerted from there when there's advisories or incidents going on. So definitely check out the Office 365 mobile app if you're an administrator. Thirdly, you can incorporate SCOM into monitoring. So there's some TechNet Gallery processes that you can download in terms of connecting your on-prem SCOM environment to actually actively monitor Office 365. So definitely check that out. If you've already made the investment into SCOM, then you've got an alerting mechanism at the ready for you to take advantage of. And then there's social. So, you know, you can leverage Twitter to get alerts on the status. So, for example, at Microsoft status, if you follow at Microsoft status and follow at Azure status, I mean, these Twitter accounts will notify you of when there's an outage, and it's pretty quick. So typically you'll see something within a few minutes if there's actually anything going on. So you'll want to follow those two accounts. And you'll want to set them to notify when they tweet, so you'll get the notification and it's not lost in the other thousands of tweets you might be getting. And then really, to sort of tie it all together, you should have an incident notification plan in place. So it's like you're doing your job, you're monitoring all these things. Like, so how do you get the word out to your company? And so the important thing is that you've got a bunch of alternate methods. You know, so if email's down, obviously you can't use Exchange to send messages out. So maybe you're using Kaizala or WhatsApp. Maybe you're sending, you've got a group on text and you can XMS everybody. So really have that plan in place to get the word outs. So if you know, again, if email happens to be down, you're not having to rely on that to get the message out. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kurt, and he's going to talk a bit more of some of the programmatic ways you might be able to leverage in terms of monitoring.
Yeah, thanks, Dino. So, yeah, you may have a certain way of dealing with these service disruptions in your organization, and you want to integrate that with existing IT processes or help desk or any process that exists. So there are several programmatic ways you can get at the service health. A number of APIs are available. The biggest one is something called the Office 365 Management API. Now, that's sort of an umbrella term for two APIs. One is the Office 365 Management Activity API, but that just gives activity information for Office 365. There's another one called the Office 365 Service Communications API, which is in that umbrella. And that's a RESTful API. It's still in preview, but it has been around for a while. And that gives you specific service level health information. So if you have any way to consume a RESTful API, you can use that API to get real-time updates on the health of all the Office 365 services. So what you could do there is use that API to register a help desk ticket, to notify certain IT administrators, to automate certain IT processes. So that's one option. And today, a lot of IT administration and processes have PowerShell. So you can use PowerShell to get at that RESTful API. And there's a lot of great examples out in GitHub available on the web that show how to consume a Graph API or even a RESTful API from PowerShell. It's actually not that hard. So that really allows you to totally automate the service health status and real-time updates into whatever you're trying to integrate into your standard operating procedures. Also, one really easy one, just from a notification perspective, is Dino mentioned the Office 365 admin portal. There's the service health section, which gives you a nice bird's eye view, as Dino said, of all the services. If you click on a service, you can elect to subscribe through email for service updates, health updates. One of the challenges there, though, is email can get lost in an already crowded inbox. But that's definitely an option. Or you can do something like, send those emails to a Teams channel, which is being monitored, which of course will work nice as long as the service disruption isn't with Microsoft Teams. So you have a few options there. Another option, if you're looking to sort of automate the response to a service status, is with Microsoft Power Automate, of course, known as Microsoft Flow. And you can use a Flow template to tap into the communication service API that we talked about. And from there, you can do anything you want in terms of emailing a specific set of people or groups, or kicking off an automated process, which notifies people or creates a service ticket. So a number of options there. There's lots of examples out there, so it's actually pretty easy to customize. And that's about it. So I'll pass it over to Habib.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. So I think, you know, everything that, you know, everybody has touched upon is, you know, obviously we want to encourage, you know, keeping up to date with, you know, the service levels and stuff like that. So adding on to what Curtis mentioned, utilizing the APIs. So there are third-party companies that actually build software applications to help monitor your entire Microsoft 365 and Azure environment. So a lot of the big monitoring companies today that you may have within your organization monitoring a lot of the on-prem equipment or software and applications, et cetera, they have Office 365 or Microsoft 365 add-ons and Azure add-ons that you can add on to there so that you have a holistic view of all of the services within your organization, right? And so they just don't provide the you know, like, hey, the service is up and running, but they also give a lot of the more granular areas, such as, you know, licensing, endpoint status. They also allow you to, you know, it's more of like a single point of glass or a single pane of glass of going into and saying, like, hey, you know, I want to start looking at all of my OneDrive stuff and what all the activities and everything like that. So it's a lot more of a global view. And they do things like Curtis mentioned, such as automation and auditing and all that kind of thing. And some of them are on-prem based and some of them are also cloud-based as well. So it's just something to think about if you already have these type of tools within your organizations, or even if you don't and you don't have the resources able to build something or utilize some of the tools that we used or we talked about before. So that being said, you know, I want to open up to a bit of a roundtable. You guys mentioned a lot of really good things. I think to me, one of the big things was making sure that you have these notifications in multiple places. So, like, you know, because there may be a service disruption in SharePoint. So, you know, I need to also put it in maybe an email, and then maybe you need to also put it in a team because you don't know where the actual disruption is. So it's good to, like, to understand what Curtis was saying, like, you need to have it in multiple places. And then, you know, from Dino's side of things, it's like, you know, just making sure that you have a process of where these things are going to be notified and how it's going to be notified as well. Right. So, I mean, we've all been through the life of the on-prem, kind of things, right? And we, you know, we were all the guy or gal that, you know, had to be the person to fix. And it wasn't, you know, a short time frame a lot of the times, right? Like, there was, like, days that, you know, there were, could have been outages, right? So, I mean, maybe give some experience as to, like, how you were before and how you handle things today. Like, so I don't know, maybe Dino, why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing, again, is just to have a plan. So whether it's on-prem or whether it's the cloud, you kind of need to have a process to follow. So for me, the important thing is, you know, when there's an issue happening, it's too late to kind of make a plan. Like, you should already have a plan and execute it, because you're kind of, everyone's on edge and, you know, the sweat's starting to flow, and you don't want to be figuring that sort of thing out at that time. So it's like, it's like you grab that process, whether it's written down somewhere, you know, and you just start executing it. So, you know, in terms of the Skype for Business days, if we had a data center outage, for example, we would have a well-documented process on how to do a failover. So people weren't actually guessing on what we had to do. They just literally followed step one through step 58 or however many steps there were and executed them. So you're not making mistakes. So really it's more about, documenting it, even doesn't matter how smart you are or knowledgeable you are. Like when you're in a panic situation, sometimes mistakes can happen. So it's better to document things and follow the process.
And as we were talking before we kicked this recording off, it's just absolutely amazing how the times have changed from on-prem to the cloud and how much easier it is, as Habib said, for us or for the IT people responsible for these services, because we're laughing before we hit record, being on-prem, right? All of us have lived the nightmare outages, and it's tough times when users are screaming at you and the service is down. Habib just took a sip of his coffee there. That's what it amounts to now. You know, you can sit back and wait for the cloud provider to resolve it, which is actually really, really, really nice.
Read a book. Yeah. 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 I think it definitely helps the IT pros life expectancy for sure, because I remember those scenarios where you're troubled, like, you know, services are down, end users want updates, they want the service back up. You're still trying to find the root cause. You're trying to fix the root cause. Maybe it's ordering hardware or finding some swing services to keep everything up. Now it's, you know, you capture the incident, you go and look, you know, we use Kazala internally for the podcast. So we throw out a note, hey, are you seeing this? And then, you know, if it's a broader issue, you know, Twitter is a great independent service to monitor what's going on. And then, you know, you now know what's going on. Now you can monitor it in the portal or on social media to see the status. And you're really now just doing the communication, right? Like, we've paid for this service. Microsoft will manage the service, you know, to the best of their abilities. They built the software, they built the services. You know, doing that in-house and getting to that level of response time and resolution, it's pretty hard to replicate. And then, you know, just that communication plan, communicating to your users, what's happening, what's going on. It's definitely a different experience than, you know, the previous life of, you know, on-premises services, for sure.
So we just lived through a small outage. It's all fresh in our minds. One thing that surprised me was how useful I found Twitter. And back to what you said, Michael, it was sort of an relatively independent way to verify how many other people are experiencing what I'm seeing. So that was a really interesting experience for me.
Yeah, it certainly saves you a lot of time, because often you're scratching your head. Is this just happening in my tenant? Or is it something to do with ADFS? And you're like troubleshooting a bunch of different things and you waste 30 minutes. But so it's almost automatic now. You just go and check right away and you say, oh, okay. And so if you had one of these things, and whether you were getting a text from Office 365 or the portal, or you were on Twitter, like now you know, that should be your first place to look, just to rule out, no one else seems to be having a problem. So then you can go down that path versus trying to dive in and, you know, sort of lose all that time.
It's actually a really good point I'll just touch on that we didn't touch on is, you know, one of the first questions when a user or several users have a service problem is it something with that client or the network or our connection to Office 365? There are a couple of free Microsoft tools that you can use to test from the client or from your office, from your premises to an Office 365 data center, to sort of rule that out right away too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, no, I think it's really good. I think it's important to obviously stay up to date and be aware. And the thing that I like about it too is, if this is not just for the admin, right? End users, you know, have the ability to go on Twitter and follow the status or check the status of certain things as well, right? So that helps them, especially as a remote worker as well too, right? So you don't know if it's your home network or something like that connecting to the environment. So anyways, thank you everyone for listening in. Hopefully give you a little bit more information of how to stay notified. And if you have any requests, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. And hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
See ya.